The morning of today's Daf Menachos is Kuf Ches. We're on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, and we are starting towards the bottom of the Amud, and here we are in the Mishnah and Shkalim. I mean, here we are in the Gemara Menachos, but here we are, we're going to start, our starting point today is the Mishnah and Shkalim. So let's familiarize ourselves with the Mishnah and Shkalim so that we really appreciate today's Daf. We're in the 13th parak of Menachos, and we are coming to the end. Just a short couple of days remaining here in this Masechta Menachos, and then we begin Chulin. And in this Gemara, so what we've been discussing is some of the basic definitions of a person makes a commitment to bring what exactly is going to be within his commitment. So he says, Harei Alai Ola, or Pirashti, Ve'inei Vedema Pirashti, and numerous examples of such, and what exactly he needs to bring. And so our Mishnah is here in the 13th parak of Menachos has been covering what exactly is covered by a neder. In the Mishnah in Shkalim, So in the Mishnah in Shkalim, I have a Mishnah in Shkalim in front of me. So the Mishnah in Shkalim talk about various revenues that come in the year. And the Mishnah in Shkalim deal with primarily, so the annual operating revenue. Operating revenue is produced by the Machzis HaShekel. So every year in the month of Adar, so the announcement was made for the Jewish people to go in and to give a half shekel. Every Jew is required to give a half shekel. I say every Jew who is exactly included in the obligation to give. So see the Mishnayos and Shkalim for more on that topic. But anyway, but everyone, right now, I'll just keep it simple. Everyone's got to give a Machzis HaShekel. And so now this Machzis HaShekel, which is now basically we could call it a tax, however you want to describe it, is now going to be collected from everyone over the month of Adar, first day of Nisan. So that's the first year of this operating fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash. And so that means that all the monies that are collected now are coming from this year's Machzis HaShekel. That is the general idea of the Mishnayos and Shkalim, but it's not short. It's a parakim. And we are now in the sixth parak of Shkalim. And let me introduce you to the beginning of the sixth parak of Shkalim. The sixth parak of Shkalim, Shlosha Asar Shofros. So the first mission of the sixth parak of Shkalim tells us that there were 13 shofros. Shofros are what you and I would call pushkas, and pushkas are basically collection boxes. Collection boxes, the reason why they were called the shofros is because it was in the shape of a shofar. Wide on the bottom, narrow on the top. You could put a coin in, but it would be hard for you to take your hand and put it inside in order to get somebody else's coin. Hard, but not impossible. So Shosha Asar Shofros Hayu BeMikdash, and now I fast forward to the fifth Mishnah of the sixth parak of Shkalim. So there are 13, and they have a Kasav Aleihem. And I'm not going to now go and explain each one of the 13 Shofros, but I bring them here. I bring the Mishnah over here because you will see exactly where we're headed. Shosha Asar Shofros Hayu BeMikdash, a Kasav Aleihem, Tikkun Chadatim, Tikkun Atikin, Kinim Goes Leola, Eitzim Ulavona, Zav LaKaparis. So the first thing the Mishnah does is it identifies seven of the 13. Seven of the 13, this year's shekel, that's Tiklan Chadatin, that's this year's shekel. Tiklan Atikin, that's last year's shekel. So let's say you are behind, and haven't you paid your last year's Machzis HaShekel? So there's a box for that. This year's Machzis HaShekel. So that if you're in fact current with your dues. Kinim Vigoz Le'ola. Now numbers 3 and 4 are for birds. Hold that thought. Eitzim Ulavona, 5 and 6 are for wood and for Lavona. Now, there were separate collection boxes for those items. And Zahav LaKaparas. And a seventh collection box is for the gold for the purpose of Kaparas. In other words, a new plating of gold is layered on top of the Beis HaMikdash from time to time. And so there was a seventh collection box. Now, what about the last six? Meaning, so far, 13 boxes in total. And we've only identified seven of the 13. And then the Mishnah gives us but two words, Shishal and Dava. So the last six are going to be Nadava. Now that means that it's simply donations. So in other words, so in these last six boxes, collection boxes, so if you have a donation that you want to make to the Beis HaMikdash, you put it in the last six. Now, the obvious question, last six, okay, if they're just a collection box, so why are they divided to six collection boxes? Just make it one collection box and be done with it. And so the Mishnayos in Shkalim never give an explanation. The Mishnayos and Shkalim actually go on. I'm not reading on the Mishnah over here, but the Mishnayos and Shkalim go on to describe the first seven in more detail. But then when it comes to the last six, all we have are two words in the Mishnayos of Shisha L'Nadava. And so what we're going to be doing in the first half of today's daf, an entire Amud of Gemara in Menachos, dedicated to one single topic, and that is, explain to me, please, those two words of Shisha L'Nadava. So we begin now the Mishnah on, sorry, we begin the Gemara in Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, at the two dots, Tanan Hasam. So we learned the Mishnah over there. So Shishal Adava. Good. So now we have the proper background, so we understand where we're headed, what the question is, and so answers. And there are going to be a lot of answers in today's daf towards this question. Can I give me? Now, by the way, if you're wondering to yourself, this sounds awfully familiar, like, haven't we covered this pretty recently? And the answer to that question is yes, we actually have covered it pretty recently, as recently as Daf Kuf Dalet, where we already had an opinion expressed in terms of what the six are corresponding to. So if in your mind you're thinking to yourself, I think I've heard this recently, yes, you have. So Shishal Nadav Kedeg and me, so here we go, Siman. The Gemara in the parentheses gives us a Simanim to try to help us to commit to memory the various opinions of what they are. So let's go. Now, opinion number one is Amr Chizkiah Kedeg Shishi Bati Avos. So Chizkiah says it has to do with the corresponding six Bati Avos. And for this, allow me just a moment to explain. The Kohanim were basically working in the Beis HaMikdash and doing the Avoda. But there are a lot of Kohanim, and it can get a little bit messy if we don't have organization. So there was organization that was created. And the organizational tree of the Kohanim is that the entire Kohen family were divided into 24 Mishmaros. So of the 24 Mishmaros now, so that means that all the Kohanim were broken up into basically 24 units, 24 sections. And so when you were part of Mishmar, so you were given a week to work in the Beis HaMikdash, from Shabbos to Shabbos. So you and your entire Mishmar would be going up to Yerushalayim and working in the Beis HaMikdash. What would you be doing the next 23 weeks? So you're on reserve. All the Mishmars do come up for Yontif. That part's true. And whatever. I'm sure you'd be in Chinuch, you'd be somewhere in Klei Kodesh, maybe you'd be running a shul. In other words, you'll keep yourself busy for those next 23 weeks. And then 24 weeks later, you come back Nachamol and you do the Avodah again for another week. So basically, as part of the Kohanim and part of the system, so you're basically working, although I don't mean this literally, because I'm sure they kept themselves busy doing other productive things, but you'd be working in the Beis HaMikdash 2 weeks out of the year, basically. Now, even as the Mishmar is now in the Beis HaMikdash, there's still a lot of Kohanim for that week's work, so then it was further subdivided. So each Mishmar was broken up into what's called the Beis Av. The Beis Av basically is a patriarch line, but basically it means that each Mishmar now is subdivided into six groups. Now, these six groups now are going to be working 1 day a week, from Sunday to Friday. So each one of the six of the Bati Avos of each of the Mishmar are going to be working that day. So even when I quipped just a moment ago that you're working 2 weeks of the year, you're really working 2 days of the year. Okay. So, but again, just when I say work, I mean in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, it's not bad. Good. So this is the Mishmaros and this is the Bati Avos. And what the Gemara now is proposing as suggestion number one, in terms of why it is that there are six pushkas, six collection boxes, linadava, is keneged shisha Bati Avos, kohanim shetiknu lahem chacham shishalom zeh im zeh. So Chizkiah's explanation is, you know what the primary issue is that we fight over, especially within family, and that is?
Money.
It's unfortunate, but that seems to be the correct answer. So we fight over money. And so what happens now is that in the event that we're trying to prevent the Kohanim from fighting, so in other words, if there was one collection box, so what's going to end up happening is that the first group of Kohanim that are coming in on Sunday, so they'll take all that money from the collection box, they'll bring Karbanos on Sunday, and then the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday Bati Avos are going to be really upset with the Sunday. And next time they get together, it'll be really unfortunate, and it won't go well. So basically, what we're going to do, says Chizkiah, is that we Chachamim instituted six collection boxes, all designated for 6 days of the week. The assumption is that there'll be more or less an equitable allocation of money amongst the six boxes, so that every family is more or less going to be getting the same money in the pushka, in their pushka. Okay, that is suggestion number one. And number two, back to the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar Mitoch Shanadava Meruba Tiknal Lam Sharfos Merubin Kedeshul Isapshu Amos. So suggestion number two of the Gemara, that of Rav Yochanan, is the reason why there are distributed among six collection boxes is because there's a lot of money. And now it's funny, by the way, because the Gemara just a short couple days ago noted that this revenue source for the Mosros, for any of the surplus, it was not a lot of money. But I guess everything is relative. And the Gemara over here is describing, Rav Yochanan is describing it as a lot of money. So a lot of surplus money was coming in. And if we only had one collection box, what's going to end up happening is that the money's going to get stuffed into a collection box. Money back then was coins, it was metal. And if metal is kept in a contained area and just had a little bit of humidity, so what's going to happen is that the money's going to start rotting. And so basically to give the money room to breathe, so therefore it was divided among six different boxes. Ziri Amar, the Gemara now is going to give a third explanation. Keneged, par, egel, ayo, kevis, gedivis, the ear. Six different animals. Now, six different animals that were offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there are more than six, because over here we're only listing the males, not even the females. But the point over here is that in terms of size of animals, basically what we could do is we could break up the animals into six different sizes. And so therefore, the six boxes reflect the six different sized animals. And who is our Mishnah espousing? The opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Hidam Rekatan Ve'ebi Gadol Lo Yatsa. Because as we learned the last couple of days in the Daf, Rebbe's of the position that if you are on the hook for a small animal, and you decide that even though you pledged a small animal, you're going to bring a large animal, Rebbe said Lo Yatsa. Now we don't follow like Rebbe's viewpoint. We go like the Chachamim, which is that Yatsa. In other words, Yesh Bechlal Masayim Maneh. Including 200 is 100, and that's the position that we follow. But in other words, in explaining the Mishnah Shkalim, so what the Gemara is advocating is that the Mishnah Shkalim is following Rebbe's position. This is, again, Ziri's viewpoint. That the Mishnah Shkalim is following Rebbe's viewpoint. And so that means to say that when someone makes a pledge, he has to be giving a specific animal that matches his pledge, not smaller and not bigger.
That makes sense with money. But with an animal, he's really not fulfilling his pledge. Just because a cow is bigger than a little tzon, it doesn't include the tzon. I don't know.
Okay, fine. You're offering an argument that supports Rebbe. That's good. So the six collection boxes are now corresponding to the right size. So that in the event that you have excess money of a particular carbon, so it's going to be applied towards its correct size animal. So the Gemara says, so that is why there's six different ones. The Amar, I'm not sure if I read this, I'll just read it again. The Gemara, V'rebi, Damar, Kan, V'evi, Gadol, Lo Yatsa. So that is going to be suggestion number three of the Gemara, and the Gemara brings in a fourth suggestion, that of Parpada. Parpada, Amar, Keneged, Aparim, Va'ilim, Hakvasim, Vasirim, V'hamosros, V'hama. So the fourth explanation of that of Parpada is that it's for specific surpluses, specific excesses. That of the bulls, the rams, sheep, goat, other surpluses, and the ma. Each one of these need an explanation, so let's go. Let's provide an explanation for each one of them. Okay, so we'll start with the part, we'll start with the bull, and I'll let Rashi do the work. I'm just going to read Rashi. Rashi writes over here regarding the parim. It's the last Rashi on the Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, Keneged Parim, Shel Chatas Sibor. So we're talking about communal chatas, not individual chatas. Shavdu V'yifrish Acharim Tachtem. So what happens is that you lost it, we got a replacement, and then, v'achachach nimsu arishonim. And so now we found the original. Now, if in your mind you're thinking to yourself, oh, so I know what happens to a chatas that's unnecessary, it's one of the chamish chatas mesos, we have to get rid of it, we have to dispose of it. So that's true, but that's for individual chatas. We're not talking about individual chatas. We're talking now about a communal chatas. So what happens with a communal chatas now that becomes no longer necessary? It's a surplus. So what happens is nitgul ri'ya. So what happens is now we let it go to pasture, wait till it develops a blemish, redeem it, and now with the redemptive money, what do? Pushka number one. This is all according to Barpada. Demeim noflim l'shofar arishon v'ha'elim. Now that explains the parim. Now we're up to elim. We're continuing in Rashi. Asham gzeilos asham ilo sh'avdu v'hifrish acharin tachtem v'achakach nimsu arishon v'nitgul ri'ya demeim noflim l'shofar hasheni. Now, as far as the rams are concerned, that is the isle of the Asham, and that of the Gzela, and the Asham Elos. In other words, various Ashamas that are brought, which again, if for whatever reason, there was a surplus that was created, we lost it, we replaced it. Now remember, by the Asham, even by an individual, it's not Holech Lemisa. In other words, if we have an additional carbon, so what we're going to do is that allow it to get a blemish, redeem it, and the money goes to Olas the Dava. It goes to the Pushka. Now, according to Barpada, Pushka number two. Kvasim, next Rashi, Kuf Chesim and Aleph. Asham Nazir, Asham Mitzorah. So the various Ashamas that are sheep Ashamas, that of the Nazir, that of the Mitzorah, Abayim B'nei Shana, Shenamar Baham Keves. Torah specifies that it has to be a sheep, meaning within its first year. In other words, the only difference between a ram and a sheep is just age. Ram is in the second year. Sheep is in the first year. So Yinatku l'raya, demayim l'shofar ha-shlishi, ve'ahachil ha-ma'ariv masreim im mosu gzelos ve'me'ilos mishum delo damom. Now Rashi over here says, now why not take the ashamos of the sheep and just simply mix it together with the ashamos of the rams? Why do I need two separate pushkas? So Rashi says, because different missions, different purposes. The elu b'nei shana ve'elu b'nei shtei shanim, elu b'ayim l'chaper ve'elu l'hachshir. One is providing a kapara, the other one is providing hechshir, so they can re-enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we had a similar idea like this earlier, also in terms of why not just mix them. We are almost done. Se'irim, next Rashi. So what is the purpose of the, now this is our, right, this is our third, Parim Elim Kvasim. No, this is our fourth, sorry. This is our fourth collection box, according to Bar Pada. Se'irim, se'iri chata shel tzipa shel regalem mechaprim al tumas mikdash v'kadashav bayim, b'she'ein ba yedi kedamin b'shvuos v'lo mipi hashmua. Ve'ein lanu behema nitkas areya ela ela de kifsa se'ira abam lechatas yachid e nitkas areya ela mesos. And so the, as far as the seirim are concerned, the goats are concerned. So Rashi says those are the goats that come on Yontif, and they provide a kapara for tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Okay, again, same basic idea. Now Rashi points out what I pointed out earlier, but I only knew it because of Rashi. In other words, Rashi reminded me that, in other words, we have to be talking about communal chatas. We cannot be talking about individual chatas, because any individual karmic chatas that becomes superfluous is chatas amesos and left to die. Okay, so that is now pushkas 1, 2, 3, and 4, according to Bar Pada. We have two more to go. We have now the mosros, and we have the ma'a. Rashi, once again, mosros. Kigon mishiku vecha mikolela vehifrish malso shem kach vehuzla behemos v'nitotsu amos noson shofar chamishi. So mosros just simply means general surplus. And Rashi over here gives a simple example. You dedicated $100 in order to buy a carbon because that's how much you thought it was. You go to the market and it turns out, right, what's it called? What's today, Cyber Monday? I apologize for sounding old. Whatever. You got a deal and it turns out now that the animal is now right. It's not $180, but you dedicated $100. So now that's $20 of surplus. Good. So now that's general moseros. That's general surplus that's going to go into pushka number 5. Pushka number 6, that's the ma'a. What's the ma'a? It's the kalbon. What's the kalbon? So I know I already referenced shkalim once this morning, but I'm going to reference it again. The Mishnayos and shkalim talk a lot about the kalbon. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to keep everything nice and simple, and I'm going to go with just Rashi's approach right here on our daf. Okay, makes sense. Meaning, in other words, I know there are different ways to explain the kalbon, but I'm just going to explain it using our Rashi today in our daf. The kalbon is a little bit extra. In other words, as I mentioned earlier this morning, what we have to do is we have to give the machzis a shekel annually in the month of Adar to the Beis HaMikdash, and that went towards the operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash. Wonderful. Machzis a shekel is a coin. It's a half shekel coin. So that means to say that I am on the hook to bring a half shekel coin. Now, the half shekel coin, so how heavy does it have to be? Now, that's a funny question. The coin itself establishes what it is. So in other words, its weight is a half shekel. However, in order to assure that I give the full half shekel, Rashi over here in our daf writes, and it's the next Rashi, by the way, I'm just going to say it outside as opposed to inside. In order to ensure that the half shekel coin that I'm giving is, in fact, a half shekel, so what they do when the collectors come around is that they weigh it. Now, back in the good old days, so it was a simple scale. So on one side, they had the weight of a half shekel, and then the other side, I put down my half shekel coin. And what has to happen in order for me to get a check on the I gave my machzis a shekel is that it has to tilt the scale. So in other words, my half shekel coin that I have to give has to be just a little bit above the exact weight of the half shekel. In other words, what Rashi describes over here is hachra. It has to tip the scale. Good. Now, this is true if one individual were to give the machzis a shekel. But let's say Ben and I get together, right? The two Bens. So Ben and I get together, and in other words, it happens to be that right now I got a full shekel coin. Great. So in other words, so we partner together, and I'm going to give the full shekel coin, and he'll reimburse me at a later point in time. I'm not worried. I know where he lives. So so we put the coin on the scale, and it will tilt and it'll dip. But the problem is, however, is that if each one of us were to be giving the half shekel, so that would have been two dips in the scale, but now it's only one dip. So under those circumstances, Rashi explains, so what we're going to have to do is that in addition to giving the full shekel coin, I'm also going to have to give the kalbon as well. Kalbon is a small coin. If I remember correctly, it's a 48th of a shekel. It's a really small coin, and that basically, that provides that little extra amount because we want not just one hechra, but we want two hechraos when giving the, now the one coin on behalf of two people. Good. That's Rashi's explanation over here. Good. Where is the allocation of that little coin going to go to? Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that later. But right now, for our purposes, Bar Pada says, you know where it goes? It goes into Pushka number 6. Of the 6 extra collection boxes that there were in the Beis HaMikdash, aside from the original 7, which we went through in the beginning of this morning, so in Pushka number 6, that's where the Kalban goes. Ad Kan Divrei Bar Pada. So what we have now in the Gemara provided in front of us are 4 different explanations amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to understand this Mishnah and Shkalim. So the Mishnah and Shkalim in the 6th Perek says that there is 6 additional Pushkas, all for the purpose of Nedava. Why the number 6? The Gemara just gave us 4 different explanations. And the Gemara is going to explain that, and we know this, we see this all the time, the more explanations you give, that means the less we know each one of them being the absolute explanation. And there's going to be some holes in each of the explanation, and the Gemara now pokes at those holes. So the Gemara says, we are at the very top of Kuf Chesem and Aleph. Kul kichizkia lo amir lintzui lo chashin adecha v'cha v'chad yumika aved. So as far as the first opinion, that of Chizkia, so the other Amoraim are going to balk at his suggestion that the reason why we have 6 different pushkas is because of fighting. We're not worried about fighting. Because consider that the Bati Avos are working on separate days in the Beis HaMikdash. If they're working on the same day and they're now taking from the same collection box, so I can hear a fight breaking out. But in other words, but if they're working on separate days, so less of a concern. Now, I can defend Chizkia and I could say simply that it's less of a concern, but I could still hear about the fighting, right? The Monday crew coming in, opening up the one collection box, seeing no money in there, so they know who took that money. So they're going to come back that night, and they're going to have words with the Sunday crew. So okay, so but anyway, but the other armor I don't want can argue the point. And the Gemara says, as far as Rav Yochanan's position, you can easily dismiss it by saying, look, well, you're worried about the corrosion of the coins, make the box a little bit larger, not worried about the corrosion of the coins. Now, as far as the Iri is concerned, 6 different boxes because there are 6 different size animals. And our Mishnah in Shkalim is following the opinion of Rebbe. Yeah, but that means now that in order to explain a Stam Mishnah in Shkalim, you have to use the Shitas Yachid of Rebbe in order to do so? Not such a fan. And Kabar Pada Nami Lo Amrin Mosros Kulo Nami Mosros. So as far as Bar Pada's explanation that the 6 additional boxes are all for various surpluses. What do you mean? It's all even some of the original 7 are for various surpluses. So we don't need to now to create 6 new collection boxes. All for surplus when some of the 7 original ones are for collections as well. And ma nami lishkalim azle. And on top of that, another point to consider in terms of not accepting Bar Pada's viewpoint. What was that 6 collection box according to Bar Pada? That was for the ma'a. That was for that small coin, the kalbon. Now, yes, there is a surcharge of the machzitz shekel, like we explained earlier. Where is that allocation? Where does that go to? So, D'tanya, the Gemara over here quotes a b'raisa. Le'echen kabon ze'holech l'shkalim divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Lazar amar le'nedava. So it's in fact the machlokas tanaim. But the opinion of Rabbi Meir is that, you know what its allocation is sent to? So it's sent to shkalim. Meaning, it's the same allocation as the shkalim. Just like the shkalim themselves are used for the operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash, the carbon tamid and all the other communal carbonates that are offered over the course of the year, same thing is true with the kalbon, according to Rav Meir. Now, Rav Elazar disagrees, and he says it goes towards the nedava, but again, the shita of Rav Meir is that don't put it in the pushka with the moseros, where that money is going to be going to nedava, going to go to voluntary Ola offerings during the slow time of the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, it goes towards the same allocation as the Shkalim. Okay? So that is that's another reason why it is you would reject Bar Pada's viewpoint. We're not done on this topic. The Gemara has more on this topic. Shmuel Amar. Now Shmuel over here is going to espouse another viewpoint. And for those of you keeping count, so this is now going to be our fifth opinion amongst the Amorayim in terms of where exactly the money is headed to amongst the for the six additional, not where the money is headed to. I take that back. We know where the money is headed to, Shishal and Adava. Meaning in terms of where we're going to be spending the money, we're going to be buying all the offerings that are going to be offered as communal all the offerings in the slow time of the year. That we know. Where is the money coming from? So again, this is now going to be our fifth opinion. So, Keneged Moser Chatos Moser Asham. So, it is going to be surplus Chatos, like we described earlier, Moser Asham. Surplus Asham, like we described earlier, Moser Asham Nazir. Moser Asham Mitzara. Three and four are going to be also surpluses, but that of the Nazir and that of the Mitzara. Why don't they fit together with your standard Ashamos? So Rashi explained earlier, and Rashi explains again, because they're not the same purpose. Moser Minchas Chote. Surplus of the Minchas Chote, Moser Asiris Ha'efa Shel Kohen Gadol. And the surplus of the Kohen Gadol, meaning in the Kohen Gadol's daily Mincha offering that he brings, the Minchas Chavitim, which we explained extensively throughout this Masechta. So if there's, let's say, a little bit of surplus, and again, he dedicates the money to buy it, turns out he didn't need all that money, so that extra money goes into Pushka number 6, according to Shmuel. Rav Oshia Amar, and here we are now with our sixth opinion of the morning. And this is Rav Oshia, although, quite frankly, him and Shmuel are going to be more or less on the same page with just a small deviation between these two positions. Rav Oshia Amar Kenegi Moser Chatos, Moser Asham Nazim, Moser Asham Atzara. So far, it checks out. In other words, Rav Oshia is espousing the same viewpoint as Shmuel, but here's where it digresses. Moser Kinim, Moser Minchas Chote. Numbers 5 and 6, according to Rav Oshia, is going to be for surplus of birds and for surplus of the Minchas Chote, not the Minchas Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. Shmuel Maitam Alamar Karabi Oshia. And here now, the Gemara just simply wraps up what in Shmuel and Rav Oshia are arguing about vis-a-vis Pushka's numbers 5 and 6. So the Gemara goes on to say, Shmuel Maitam Alamar Karabi Oshia. Kinim Tanale Reshia. So the Gemara says, well, as far as Kinim is concerned, so that was already taught in the beginning. Meaning, remember, go all the way back to the beginning of this morning's shiur. When we went through the Mishnah and Shkalim and we identified the first seven of the collection boxes. So you remember that of the first seven, so one of them was for the birds. So we already have a collection box for the birds. So then why do I need a second collection box for birds? So, Kinim Tana Lebesha. Rav Oshia Tani Velo Tani Kinim. And you mean to tell me that Rav Oshia, when he teaches the Mishnah, when he learns the Mishnah, in his Girsos of the Mishnah, he doesn't have the word kinim, but that's not true. Vatani, Rabbi Oshia, Vatani kinim. Rav Oshia taught the Mishnah, and Rav Oshia taught kinim. He had that as part of the corpus of his Mishnah. So, what are we doing over here? Meaning, how can Rav Oshia explain that Pushka number 6 of the Nadava Pushkas is Lekinim when one of the first seven is also Lekinim? Yeah, you got the answer. So chad lekinim v'chad lamoser kinim. So the Gemara says because they're not the same. Of the original seven boxes, the one that's labeled kinim. So that's the actual birds themselves. Meaning, a woman is obligated to bring a pair of birds. She just gave birth to a baby, mazel tov. And at the end of her tahara process, she has to bring a pair of birds in order to be able to go back into the Beis Hamikdash as part of her tahara process. So does she actually have to offer the birds themselves? No. In other words, what she does is she takes coins, she goes to the Beis Hamikdash, she puts the money in the coins, obviously enough to buy a pair of birds. And what we now know is that the Kohanim are going to go and check that box every day. If there are coins in the box, they're going to use that towards the birds, the purchasing of birds, and they're going to offer it that day. Good. That was from the original seven. In the Nadava, in the six additional boxes, the surplus boxes, so that was for money which was Moser Kinim. Meaning in the event that, let's say, she herself purchased the birds, and it turned out there was surplus money, so that surplus money now is put into the Shisha L'Nadava. Wonderful. Rav Oshia, my time alam, or Kishmol. Now, why doesn't Rav Oshia agree with Shmuel? So, Savala Kamanda Amar, Moser, Shal Asir, Sa'efa, Shekohen Gadol, Yirkov. Because Shmuel's of the opinion, no. Rav Oshia is of the opinion that in terms of the any surpluses of the Minchas Kohen Gadol, that is not sent to Nadava, but rather, Yirkov, it is left to rot. And so basically what is left now at issue in the Gemara is what happens if in fact there is surplus of the Minchas Chavitim. And perhaps over here, perhaps what's at the core of this issue over here is how to categorize, how to understand the Minchas Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. But the Gemara now is going to bring in the Machlokas, the Tanya. We'll learn to the Braisa. Most of Minchas Adavar, most of Minchas Yirkav. Now the Braisa over here is not easy to read. The Braisa just simply says that the Moser Mincha goes towards Nedava, and Moser Mincha is to be left to rot. Now, when you read this Braisa, honestly, you're confused. Well, which way do we go? If I have surplus of a Mincha, does it go towards the Nedava, meaning one of the six Pushkas that we just described, or is it left to rot? I don't know. I'm confused. My Kamar, I'm Rav Chisda, Achi Kamar. So for this, we need Amaraim, and Rav Chisda over here provides explanation. Most of Minchas Chote, Nedava. If I have the surplus of Minchas Chote, it's to Nedava. And by the way, that makes perfect sense, because we already saw earlier that if I have surplus of a Chatas, well, again, to be fair, not a private Chatas, because if we do have one, that's Lamisa, but if we have most of Minchas Chote, so that goes towards the Nedava, so the most of Minchas Chote also goes to Nedava as well. Most are Sirus Haifa, Shokon Gadol, Yerkav. But if I have the surplus of Mincha of a Kohen Gadol, so that does not go to Nedava, but rather Yirkav, let it rot. Now it's interesting, by the way, we're not talking about the grain, we're talking about the money. Let the money rot. It's a little bit tricky.
It's not Baal Tashchis.
Meaning, it's not Baal Tashchis if there's literally nothing to do with it. Chatas HaMesos also, you could say it's Baal Tashchis, but it's not, because that's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants disposal. According to Rav Oshia, Torah wants disposal over here. Rabba Amar Afila Mosa Asir Saifa Shal Kohen Gadol Nami Nedava. Now Rabba says no, that even any excess, any surplus of the Asir Saifa, the Kohen Gadol, also is headed towards Nedava. Ela Mosa Lachme Tarda Yerkav. And according to Rabba, the only thing that is to be left to rot is only surplus of the Lachme Toda. And Bibplukta. And the Gemara points out that this is already an existing Machlokis. Most of us here say, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nedava, Rabbi Elazar Amar Yirkav. The Amoraim debate this very issue in terms of where the surplus of the Kohen Gadol's Mincha goes to. Does it go towards the six Pushkas, where eventually the money is going to be used to buy the Ola Sibor during the slow time of the season, or Yirkav? Just let it rot. Mesir, the Gemara's challenge is based on a Mishnah in Shkalim. We're holding today in Mishnah in Shkalim. The Mishnah teaches us, most of Shkalim Chulin, that any surplus of the Shkalim goes is Chulin. Most are Sir Saifa, most is Kine, most are Kine, Zavin, Vikine Zavos, Vikine Yaldos, Vechatos, Veshamos, Mosreim, Nedava. So the Mishnah tells us that if I have the surplus of any of the aforementioned Karbanos, so it goes towards Nedava. Now, of the things that we just listed, so we said, we included in that, Moser Asiris Haifa, surplus of the Asiris Haifa. Let's think to ourselves, what is that a reference to? So my lab and Moser Asiris Haifa is a Kohen Gadol. Presumably he's talking about the Minchas Chavitim. If that's the correct shot in the Mishnah Shkalim, so then that's a clear indication that it goes towards Nedava. And that favors the Amoraim who say that it goes towards Nedava. So the Gemara says, no, we could deflect the proof. Lo, Moser Minchas Chote. It's not talking about the Moser of the Kohen Gadol, but rather the Moser of a standard Minchas Chote. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mistaba Kamanda, I'm Rav Moser Asiris Haifa is a Kohen Gadol, Yerkav. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, my opinion is that the position that seems clearest to me is that it's left to rot. And I know that based on the following verse, I did Tanya. When the Torah describes the mincha of a sinner, the mincha schote, so the Torah says, no oil, no lavona, it is a chatas. I'm Rav Yehuda, he kriya chatas, vein acheres kriya chatas. So when the Torah says the word he, the Torah means that this and only this get the designation, get the label of a chatas. Other similar menachos are not called the chatas. Limit al sirus ha'efesh ha'kohen gadol she'ena kriya chatas. V'tuna lavona. So a similar mincha is not considered a chatas and does in fact require lavona, notably that of the Kohen Gadol. U'mide'ena kriya chatas. Now that's the end of the braisa. But now Rav Nachman Yitzchak points out, well, by virtue of the fact that it's not called the chatas, so therefore what happens to the moser? What happens to the surplus? Because if it were called the chatas, so generally speaking, moser chatas goes towards the nedava. But by virtue of the fact that this the mincha of the Kohen Gadol is not considered a moser chatas, so therefore its surplus does not go to nedava, but rather Yirkav is left to rot. Okay.
When you say moser shkolem lechulim, what does that mean?
Meaning,
well, where do you do the money? I mean,
the meaning, you set aside no? more than, in other words, you
I don't understand, but why, what does it mean, holding? I mean, to the school, yeah. Every time you gave it, it was for upkeep, right?
No, in other words, here, I'll try to paint the following picture. In other words, you know Adar is coming up, and you wanna now save away for the machzis of shekel. So when it's tax time, so you have the funds. Right. So you have a box in your house, and you start putting in coins, one coin after another. And eventually, now when the guy comes and collects, so you break the bank and you open it up, and it turns out now that you have more than machzis of shekel. So under those circumstances, so whatever's over, you can keep. In other words, that's not because in other words, since the machzis of shekel is a specific amount. So in other words, in your mind, you only set aside that which was for the machzis hashekel. Okay. We up to the next mission. We're on Kufches Amud Aleph, and we're going to go station to station. We're going to today go from this mission to the next mishnah with the following discussion. The mission over here describes a scenario, where you set aside a bull and establish it to be a carbon olam, and what happens is it gets a mum, it gets a physical blemish. And so what now happens is that it's now redeemable. Okay, which again, when we get to the later Masechtos here in Kachim, right, after we go past Chulin, which is, by the way, Chulin is, we're gonna stand Chulin for a long time. Daf-wise, it's one of the longest Masechtos in Shas. So we'll be in Chulin for, it's about a 5-month commitment. Okay, good. So, but after Chulin, we get to the Mi'ila, Temura Gemaras. So over there, we're going to talk extensively about, and Bechoros also. We're going to be talking extensively, really, in Bechoros, it comes up a lot, extensively about what happens when you have a carbon animal that was blemished. Because before it was blemished, now it's Kedushas HaGuf, and it's simply non-redeemable. But now, with a physical blemish, it's now redeemable. And what do I do with that money that I redeemed it? So I apply it now to buy with it another carbon. In other words, the animal itself, meaning that now that's redeemed, so it's chulin. Although, it's not totally chulin, it still has a little bit of residual kedusha, but that's not our topic for now. In other words, but the money that I use now, the redemptive money, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to buy another carbon with that redemptive money. And what can I buy with it? That is what our mishnah is going to discuss. So shor ze'ola, so I point to the shor, and I dedicate the shor now as a carbon ola. So now the shor has kedusha's carbon ola, and it gets a blemish. So imratza, so now what I did is I redeemed it, right? I sold off the animal. And now with the money, so what do I do with the money? So yavi bedamav shnayim. So what I can do with the money is I can go ahead and I can buy two shvarim, two oxen. Now, shouldn't I be able to buy, in other words, shouldn't there only be enough money for one ox? So, in other words, it could be that the oxen that I'm buying is smaller. What about the opinion of Rebbe, which we saw earlier? We'll come back to that later on. Shnei shvarim elu olam. The Mishnah deals with a similar case, but we start off with two animals that I dedicate as an ola. Vinista avu, they both got a physical blemish. Ratzi yavi b'demeim echad. If I want to go ahead and purchase with the redemptive money one animal, I may do so. Rebbe oser. Now Rebbe says that it is prohibited because Rebbe l'shitaso. Rebbe's of the opinion that in order to fulfill your obligation. So you cannot buy an animal that's larger, nor can you buy an animal that's smaller. In other words, it has to be a match. Now,
it sounds like it's an aduba.
Okay.
And it became our own. You don't have to bring anything.
Oh, okay. Well, good point. The Gemara is going to touch on that. Okay. Now, Rebbe says that's prohibited. Ayol ze olav nistavu. More examples of the same idea. I had a ram, I dedicated it as a carbon ola, they got a blemish, imrasa yavi b'dam of keva, so I can bring in its place now a sheep. Keva ze ola, now sheep, by the way, is smaller. Keva ze ola, I dedicated the sheep as a carbon ola, v'nistayv, and it got a blemish, imrasa yavi b'dam of ayol, and what I can do now with the redemptive money is I can go ahead and purchase a ram, v'rebbe oser, and once again, Rebbe says that it's oser. Okay. We start now on the top of Kuches Amud Beis. The Gemara's discussion, it goes like this. V'amart reisha shor b'mana. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So let's say I commit myself to a shor for one mana. And this is a previous mission that we learned earlier in this parak, in this very parak. So, and I dedicate myself to, I commit myself, I should say better, to bringing a shor for one mana. And instead of buying one shvar for a mana, I go ahead and I buy two smaller shvarim, two smaller oxen, and I do so for one mana, lo yatzi, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So so why is it that previously we talked about not being yotzei, and over here, so you are, it would be okay. So the Gemara says, shur zeh v'nista ev shani. So the Gemara says, well, over here in our Mishnah, it's different than the previous Mishnah. Because previously we were talking about a lie. We were talking about where you made a personal commitment. Once you make a personal commitment, so then in order to satisfy your personal commitment, so you have to match that which you pledged. You pledged that you were going to bring one shor for one mana. So the only way to properly satisfy that obligation is by bringing a shor for a mana. Anything less than that is not going to be a proper satisfaction of your pledge. But over here where you say shor zeh, so there's no recourse, there's no personal liability. You're just simply identifying this animal as a carbon with no personal responsibility. Something happens to the animal, okay? It's right. It's kedushas aguf, but in other words, you're not on the hook. So now what happens is that when the money gets redeemed, so what can you do with the money? Whatever you want. I don't mean that, whatever you want. But in other words, but you don't have to be so exacting that the money has to go towards an equal animal, because again, this is not on you. It's just that the money has kedushas carbon ola. And so therefore, as long as the money is spent on an ola, it doesn't matter. Whether it's one animal, two smaller animals, that's all well and good. So my time mishum davle gadol ve'evi katan. So the Gemara says, now as far as the explanation of Rebbe is concerned, so we go back to a point that we made already numerous times in this parak, which is that Rebbe does not allow for a small animal to be replaced with a large animal. Davle gadol ve'evi katan. So the Gemara says, now even though it got a blemish, still Rebbe would not be accepting of such a thing. So the Gemara says, okay, but why is Rebbe arguing only on the latter scenario in the Mishnah? Meaning Rebbe should be objecting to both scenarios of the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, well, that's exactly right. Rebbe akula milsa palik. No, really, Rebbe's arguing on both scenarios of the Mishnah. And what Rebbe is doing is what's called courtesy, meaning he's allowing the Chachamim to finish their point, and then he's objecting. But he's not just objecting to the last point the Chachamim made, but he was objecting to the entire point of the Chachamim, the entire viewpoint of the Chachamim. And Teda Diktani Ayol Zeh Ola V'Nistav Rasa Yavi B'damav Keves Keves Zeh Ola V'Nistav Rasa Yavi B'damav Ayol V'Rebbe Oser Shmamina. And you see clearly that this is in fact so, because when you go to the second half of our Mishnah, so you see that we're substituting a sheep for a ram for a sheep, and according to Rebbe, none of that's acceptable. And Rebbe, at the tail end of the Mishnah, says, Rebbe says that it's usur. Now, he's not objecting just one of those scenarios. Rebbe was objecting to both of those scenarios. So what do you see? That the style of Rebbe is that he allows the Chachamim to fully articulate their viewpoint, and then he objects to everything. Same thing in the Reisha of the Mishnah as well. Neither of the cases are neder. But still, the chachila, Rebbe does not like it. Rebbe would prefer that when you take the redemptive money, you're going to be using it and matching what it was originally. So the Gemara says, okay, now, let's say you dedicated the shor as an ola, and you said zeh, shor zeh ola, and it got a blemish. So can you, instead of bringing two shvarim, you bring two elim? Now this question is towards the chachamim. Now we know according to the chachamim, so it was one shor, and then with the redemptive money you bought two shvarim, the chachamim are fine with that. But basically, okay, good. But is there somewhere where the chachamim are going to basically say, no, that's too far. Too far of a deviation where we're not happy with what you did with the redemptive money. So, mimina lamina mai, tashma, the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? Shor zeh olav nistav lo yav b'damav ayol. Aval mebid b'damav beiz elim. V'rebi oser lefi shein bila. So, in the Braisa, if you identify the shore as an ola, and it gets a blemish, so what you should not do is with the money buy one ram, but what you may do is you might buy two rams. And Rebbe says, no, you may not. So, lefi shein bila, because the nesachim of the two do not mix together. Different ratios of nesachim, and therefore they don't blend together. So anyway, v'shmamina. But what you see clearly over here is that according to the chachamim, in other words, if I'm substituting a shor with two elim, that's fine. So the Gemara says, okay, but and then I don't understand. So if we're okay substituting one animal for another, so you're telling me that One shor for two rams is okay, but one shor for one ram is not okay? I don't understand that. The Gemara says, "Afilu chanami." The Rabban is tayiv leRabbanan lo shani lehu ben gadol lekatan. So the Gemara says, "Trei tanai v'aliba deRabbanan." So the Gemara says, "Well, in other words, yeah, confused? Yeah, a little bit confused." So there are actually two ways to understand the Chachamim's viewpoint. One way to understand the Chachamim's viewpoint is that, as far as the substitution is concerned, it doesn't matter what we're substituting one for two, two for one. That doesn't matter. Right, big for small, small for big, it doesn't matter. Masha'enkin, in this bracha that we just learned together, so if I take one shor and replace it with one ram, that's just simply not a fair substitution. In other words, if I'm subbing in ram, it's got to be two, not one. Okay. Rabbi Osa l'fishayin bila, time of day in bila, hayesh bila shari v'atanan. Ayol ze olav nisav rasi yavi b'dam av keves. Keves ze olav v'nisav yavi b'dam av ayol v'rabbi Oster. So over here in this bracha, Rabbi's objecting, but why is Rabbi objecting? Rebbe objected in the Brisa because the Nesachim do not blend together. The Nesachim not blending together, I don't understand. What does that have to do with the Nesachim? Just by virtue of the fact that I'm not substituting with the same exact animal, that should be enough that where Rebbe's going to object. So why is Rebbe over here giving a different explanation about the Nesachim not being the same? So once again, Trei Tanai V'Aliba de Rebbe. So there are two Tanai espousing Rebbe's viewpoint, meaning, again, same basic idea, that we don't have clarity on what Rebbe's viewpoint is. Some say that Rebbe says that in order to use the redemptive money correctly, you have to be buying the exact same animal. Others have the opinion, no, it doesn't have to be the exact same animal. You can replace it with other animals as long as the Nesachim are the same. Okay. And finally, V'tahorim, Egel v'hevi par, Keves v'hevi ayil, Yatsa, Samaka Rabbanan. Now, if the animal is tahor, now tahor over here just simply means that it is, it's not blemished. So, egel v'hevi par, if you were on the hook originally to bring a bull and you brought a sheep, if you were on the hook to bring a calf and you brought a bull, sheep and you brought a ram, yatsam, you fulfilled your obligation, and stomach rabban, and then that goes like the chacham, meaning the end of that price follows the viewpoint of the chacham, not Rebbe. Because Rebbe wouldn't be happy with that. Ratzi Yavi Badam of Bez, Amar Rabbi Nasha Bar Zvid, Amar Rav, Loshanu Ela, the Amar Shor Ze, Ola. Aval Amar Shor Ze, Alai, Ola, Hokva. Now, in the second statement, you said Shor Ze, Alai. Now, that's a little bit confusing, isn't it? The word Ze means it's an Adava. This animal is going to have Kedusha, but I don't have any personal recourse. But then immediately follow up with the word Alai. Alai usually means it's upon me, meaning I have a personal responsibility. V'doma alai la'avi okamar. Now the Gemara says, now alai, couldn't that simply mean I'm going to take the responsibility of bringing it up to the Beis HaMikdash? Not that the carbon is going to be upon me as a personal obligation, but just simply that I'm going to bring it up. So Eli Yidmar Hachi Yidmar, the Gemara says, correct. So let's make a small correction. Amar Rav Menashe Bar Zvid, Amar Rav Loshanu Ela Damar Shor Zeh Ola, Inami Amar Shor Zeh Alai Ola. As long as you use the word Zeh, so you're saying with clarity that you do not have personal recourse, that you don't have a personal responsibility to the animal. So that means that if something were to happen to the animal will in fact have kedusha and be brought as a carbon. And if a blemish happens to the animal, so then you could sub it out with something else. But you did not say the word alai by itself. Ava'ama shor zeh v'damav alai ola hokva. However, if you say shor zeh, but then you add the words vidamav alai, its value is going to be upon me. So even though you said the words there, but you also said with clarity that you're going to take on any kind of personal responsibility. So therefore, hukva, so then you have now established it as your own personal responsibility. And that means to say that you are now on the hook, that if something happens to the animal, you're going to have to replace it with the same animal.